And boy, are we going to have fun this morning. Okay, so roll up your sleeves. I want to see all your red spots, your infectious skin disease. The text that Peter read to you this morning as we make our way through the book of Leviticus is all about infectious skin diseases. Or at least that's what the New International Version calls them. If you have the King James or one of the older translations with you, it calls it leprosy. However, I don't want to talk to you about your skin diseases this morning. No, and I particularly do not want to see them. So keep your sleeves down, okay? See, an infectious skin disease is a metaphor for sin. So let me explain. You ready? First, we need to get clear about the Hebrew word which is translated infectious skin disease. I just have to tell you that I was sitting there in my study and I'm reading the English translation and it went, problem. See, the Hebrews, ancient peoples, had no concept of infection. They didn't understand germs and viruses and diseases the way we did. They didn't understand infection. So how could this thing that we're talking about be called an infectious skin disease? And then when I look back at the older English translations and it said leprosy, I know that leprosy, modern leprosy, is what we now call Hansen's disease, and that the ancients didn't know about modern leprosy and tended to call everything leprosy. So it was kind of like, So I checked it out. I did language study. Went deep. And I discovered that the Hebrew word behind the phrase infectious skin disease in the new translations and leprosy in the old translation is the Hebrew verb that means to strike. Okay, now, it's not a pleasant word. It means to smack you hard on your or to punch you right between the eyes. It means to strike. Now, how many of you have ever been sick? Uh-huh. And when you got sick, did it not feel like somebody went right between your eyes? Mm-hmm. We get the phrase stricken by pneumonia or cancer from that Hebrew word. And the fact of the matter is that if you have ever been sick, you know that it feels like somebody hit you right between the eyes. It sets you down. It stops you in your tracks, and it doesn't even have to be serious. Mm-hmm. Anybody got sinus problems today? You know what I don't want to have today? Sinus problems. And you know why I don't want them? Because they are messing up my life. And that's what sickness does to you. Doesn't have to be sickness or deep, serious sickness. When it hits you, it hits you. And you want it to go away, don't you? When you are sick, you are stricken. Now, that is the first point in today's metaphor. Just as sickness strikes you and sets you down, so does sin. Now take a moment. Just take a moment and think for a while about a common cold. You know how first it sneaks up on you and you are not aware of it? You don't really know it's coming? And then all of a sudden you get that little sore throat there right at the back of your throat. And you become aware that your nose is stuffy and your ears are beginning to hurt. And all of a sudden you go, oh my, because it's sneaking up on you, spreading over you, beginning to take control. And it's kind of desperate at that moment, isn't it? Because you know it's coming and you don't know what to take and you don't know how to get rid of it. But you know it's coming. Anybody there right now? Uh-huh, see? You know. Well, that's how sin comes. Starts as a little temptation way over there. Sort of twinkles at you a little bit. Can you glance at it and think nothing? Don't notice. Keep going. And then it moves a little closer, begins to sparkle a little brighter. And you begin to think, maybe won't hurt me too much. You begin to feel yourself warming to it. You can tell that it's beginning to take over. And then all of a sudden, boom, it has got you in its grip. The cold, that is. You are sneezing. You are coughing. You are feeling miserable. You are, boom, stricken. And so it is with sin. It starts so quiet in the corner until it floods over you and gets you in its grip, and you don't know how to break free. You have been stricken by sin. You are stricken. And second, when the disease strikes you, it renders you unclean. That's what the text says. The priest finds you got that red spot with a white hair in it. You are unclean. And you are unclean because you are a danger to those around you. If they stay close to you, they will catch what you've got. The disease renders you unacceptable to other people. You are unclean by it. By it, you have been defiled. And like the disease, sin renders us unclean. If you hang around, if people hang around you too much, they will be tempted by the same thing that tempts you. And if they are not careful, they will get caught by the thing that has caught you. They will be weakened in their resolve to resist sin until they too are stricken. And when they are stricken by it, the strike will render them too unclean. You know how it works. You cannot deny it. From the time I was this big, my mother and my grandmother were telling me about it. I think they said to me at least twice a day, one bad apple will ruin the whole barrel. They were telling me that before I knew what it meant. They would say to me, be careful who your friends are. You hang out with the wrong people, and you know what's going to happen. You'll end up doing the very things that they do. See, one person who indulges their sin can lead a whole congregation of people to become sin indulgent. So when you sin, when it takes control of you, it renders you unclean like disease. And third, the disease is deeper than the skin. In the text that Peter read to you, the priest is told, to examine the disease to see if it is more than skin deep. And if he's not really sure when he first examines it whether it is more than skin deep, he is given power to isolate the person who is infected for 7 days. Okay? And if it comes back after the 7 days and looks at it again, he's still not sure, he can isolate the person for 7 more days. Now, I just want you to understand here that this is a huge interruption in your life. Okay? They used to call it quarantine, remember? I don't hear much about it anymore. But the priest can literally quarantine you for up to 14 days to discover if the disease in your skin goes deeper than the skin. There's no need, according to the passage read to you, to be concerned about an infection which is only skin deep. If, however, the disease is more than skin deep, there is a huge problem. An infection beneath the skin is a problem. And as with disease, sin is always deeper than the skin. It is, in fact, never a simple issue. We resolve to make it be a simple issue. We tell ourselves that it won't matter, that it's just a little tiny thing. But it never is a little tiny thing. See, sin is a deliberate choice to rebel against God himself. The sinner is choosing to thumb his nose at God and at the guidance of God's word. And it stems from a desire to rebel that grows in our hearts. Now, I'm just going to stop here because I want you to understand that we all have that desire. We are born with a desire to rebel. We want to rebel. You see it in your kids, even sweet little ones like this one, have their moments. Mm-hmm. When they stubbornly rebel against the will of their parents. Every parent knows it. It is an innate desire deep in our hearts to rebel. It's not a simple thing. It is a deep-rooted problem. And when you choose to give in to it, to let sin reign in your life, when you have been stricken by sin, it is a symptom of a deep down heart problem in you. Now, you got a serious heart problem. You better see the doctor. Because you are stricken. And fourth, the disease spreads through the body. If you have an infection, you know how you have to be extremely careful. The thought that came to my mind here was pink eye. Anybody ever had pink eye? Know how careful you have to be to keep pink eye in the eye it's in? You know how careful you have to be not to give it to somebody else from your hands? How easy it is to spread an infection. How easy it is for the infection to spread in your own body, but also to be transferred to the bodies of someone else. You have to take precautions. Bryn Mawr Hospital is my favorite place for precautions. Okay, I have never been in a hospital where they are so concerned about the spread of infection. On the door, in every patient's room, there is a bottle of that hand disinfectant stuff. They want you to constantly be, because they're taking precautions. When you go to Brandywine Hospital, because Brandywine Hospital has had some trouble with infections, you'll discover that they have all kinds of things in place to take precautions now so that infections do not spread through surgery, etc. You don't want to run the risk of spreading the disease. You don't want it to conquer you, and you certainly don't want to give it to somebody else. You know why? Because those who are most susceptible to an infection that you have are the ones closest to you, the ones you love most. So if you've got an infection, a disease in your body, you know that you have to take care that it doesn't spread in your body or to the body of others. And as with the disease, so it is with sin. Sin spreads. I remember once hearing a sermon about how sheep get lost. You know how sheep get lost? They nibble their way lost. Okay? They go from one clump of grass to another, just eating as they go, never looking up, and all of a sudden, nobody else is around. They nibbled their way lost. And that's how a sin infection spreads in us. We start doing one little thing, and it leads to another and another and another, and before we know it, boom, we have been stricken. We are lost in sin. Completely immersed in it. It has conquered our being. And then all those around us, all those who are close to us, become susceptible to the infection that has taken us. Our example will encourage those around us to do the very thing we have done. Now, I'm going to talk for a moment particularly to the dads in our congregation. Because what you may not know, but what is absolutely true, is that you are the one who sets the spiritual tone for your home, and in particular, for your children. Okay? In our culture, it has been studied, and the studies are always the same. The most important spiritual influence on a child's life is not his mother, it is his father. Okay? Now, we don't like that, do we, dads? We would prefer the responsibility be given to someone else. But here's the deal. It's not your words that influence them so much as it is your example. And if your life is filthy with sin, if you have habits that you are covering up that you think they won't know, guess what they will discover? And they will follow you into your sickness. Example here. You treat their mother like she with no respect. You know what your boys will learn to do? Treat women the same way they have seen you treat them. You treat people in your sphere of influence as if they have no significance to you and are nothing. You know what your boys will do? They will follow your example and treat people the way you did. It will. Now, there are exceptions, but the general rule is, dads, you set the example. The standard you establish will be the standard for the next generation, particularly of males in your family. What you do, they are watching. And if there is infection in your heart, it will spread to them too. You are the standard for your children. Your sin will infect those near you. And as you sink deeper into sin, as sin spreads its control over you, others near you will be stricken. Sin spreads. And then fifth, the disease isolates. In the text, those who are found to have been stricken by an infectious skin disease must be turned out of the camp. They cannot live among God's people. Their association can only be with other unclean, infected people. Whenever they come into the society of pure people who are not infected by their disease, they have to cry out as they go, unclean, unclean, to warn everyone else to keep away with that, from them so that they will not become infected by the disease that has infected them. Usually, those who were affected with an infectious disease were shut out of the company of God's people entirely. They were isolated. And the metaphor continues because as the disease isolates, so sin isolates. Now, I know that it doesn't look that way sometimes in our world today. It seems to us sometimes as if sinners have more friends than anybody else, and they're all having a good time doing their sin. Sometimes it looks that way. But number one, the friends a sinner collects in life are fair-weather friends. Soon as he turns away from his sin, guess what they're going to do? They're going to turn away from him because you know what they like? His infection. It's not him they like. It's the disease. Jesus talks about that. He tells the story of the prodigal son. Can you remember the prodigal son is having a great life as long as he has the means to support those who want to sin? As soon as he loses that means, wants to turn back to his father, they all throw him away. Let him feed the pigs because he's of no value to them if he cannot in some way support their habit, keep their sin going. And those who are lost in sin, who are infected by sin, who think that the other sinners are their friends, will find out in the end that those friends are just fair weather friends. Soon as you turn from sin, they will drop you. Because what they love is not you, it's your sin. And then number two, sinners, even though they may have the company of fair weather friends, are isolated from God. They are literally shut out of the camp. The scripture teaches that our sin separates us from the Father. The Bible tells us that there is only one friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that friend is Jesus Christ. And he is the only one who can set us free from the infection called sin and end our isolation from the Father. Without Jesus, you are eternally alone, stricken. Last, the Bible teaches that whatever has touched the disease is fit only to be burned. In the text, everything that the infected person touched, his clothing, the chair he sat in, the dishes he ate from, the bed clothing he slept under, all of it must be burned. And as with the disease, so anything which has come in contact with sin must be burned. That includes you. And it includes me. For if you are a sinner, and we are all sinners, we have been infected with a disease, and according to the text read in your hearing today, we are fit for one thing, and that is the fires of hell. If you are a sinner today, and you are stricken. And there is no way that you can save yourself. You cannot be good enough. You cannot be strong enough. You cannot be rich enough to cleanse yourself from the disease called sin. You can't earn your way to heaven. It cannot be done. You are stricken, fit only to be burned in the unquenchable fire of hell. As in the text, the only thing that can remove your sin and restore you to the grace of God is the offering of sacrifice. And hear me today. The good news is now. In the midst of it all, great God, our Father is reaching down to us, even to those of us who are stricken with sin, to all of us. He is reaching out to us to tell us that the great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the great sacrifice has been offered for our sins. And if you will come to him, he will wash you clean of the infection and set you free.